the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 29th, 2015. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. Another way to get prayer requests to me is send me a letter in the mail. I'll take it with me to the mission church. We will lay hands on it, anoint it with oil, pray on it, and mail it back to you at no charge to you. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And we are an astronaut satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net, so that makes it international. So please pray about supporting airtime. We also podcast these things, as most of you know, and that costs money, so pray about it. Anyway, our program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com. Go over there and have a look. It's a hub for everything. You can get to everything that you need to know about our ministry. Now, on another note, you know, if you're a regular listener to this radio program, you know I strongly believe that you should have a stock of food for at least a year. I mean, anything could happen. You know, a tornado could happen. It could be the economic collapse. There's many, many things that could happen. Generally, I say make it a lifestyle, like I have. Add extra things from the store as you go along. But, you know, many people do sell storage food out there, so I've been checking in to see what they have to offer and see if it's something well I would eat. And I found the best one I found thus far is why it's called Wise Foods. You can find a link to it at prophecyhour.com for them and a telephone number. In fact, I suggest spending a few minutes on the phone with them. The number is 855-977-9844, 855-977-9844. They even have things like emergency backpacks and things. Really, we have emergency backpacks standing ready. We have about 10 of them in our household just in case. Even though I think that I'm not going to have to leave here, I may have to bug out, so I've got those backpacks and had them probably since about 2000 or something like that, maybe a little bit before, ready to go for my family members in case that we have to get out of here. If you don't have time or don't know what to put in them, these people have this also. This is just to help you out. I'm not saying the world's going to collapse tomorrow or next week or anything, and don't buy food just because I said to and stretch your budget. But if you're looking to buy food, or maybe you're already doing it and you want to find a good place, this is a good place to do it. If you go through a link on our website or you use the phone number that I gave you, they will give Messiah's Branch a little bit of the money. And, you know, I don't see anything wrong with that. If there is, send me an email and we'll talk about it. But the point is a percent will go to Messiah's Branch and that will go to the poor. So pray about it. But regardless, even if you don't want to use Wise Foods, you need to stock up, and you should have at least a year's supply on hand. That should be part of your lifestyle. Now, prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. Father, I don't know how to do radio. Only you know how to do everything, right? So, Father, I pray, please take over this program tonight and let come out what you want to come out according to your will and not mine. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, in your Son's mighty name, Yeshua HaMashiach, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, our guest tonight is the publisher of the Economic Collapse blog. This blog is a go-to place if you want to know what's going on, let alone, you know, he can mix even some comedy in with it, you know, and it's pretty good. But I don't know, if you go over there and look at the first article right now, there's a really stupid picture of Obama looking at himself in the mirror. So I don't know. Haven't read that one all the way. But anyway, he's also author of the book, The Beginning of the End. The book is written as a novel, like The Harbinger was. Recently, he also made a very informative set of DVDs called The Economic Collapse, World War III, The Death of America, The Regathering of the Ten Lost Tribes of Israel. We've talked about part of that on this radio program. So let's just bring him on. It's enough of my banter. Welcome now, Michael Snyder. Are you there with me, Michael?
I am here, Pastor Dan. It's really great to be back with you.
Yeah, amen. Hey, I had Nathan Leal on my first program today, and he told me to tell you hello. He was just in a conference with you.
Yeah, we had a great gathering of believers during the Days of Awe. We called it the Days of Awe Conference up here in Sandpoint, Idaho. We actually had believers come in from 12 different states, from Canada, and a lady came up on a bus from Mexico. Believers from all over came in for a weekend of prayer and repentance, and Nathan Leal was there, Benjamin Baruch was there, Lynn Liaz was there, I was there, and we had a really great time.
Yeah, amen. He said he talked about, you know, people coming up to the altar and everything, you know, and it really being spirit-filled, and so, amen. That's the way I like to see a conference, you know. I don't know about you, and I'm not going to pick on anybody, but I have been to those things over the years, and, you know, a lot of them are just so dry, you know what I mean? But when the Spirit's moving, that's where I want to be at. How about you?
Oh, and it's all about ministering to people and winning souls and advancing the kingdom. It's not, you know, so many of these conferences, people get up there and they want to impress everyone with, you know, how smart they are, and they want to sell some books. Well, I didn't bring any of my books or materials. I didn't have anything for sale. We just came there to do business with God, and that's what we did, and we're starting to see the remnant rise up all over the country and all over the world, and so that was just a small taste of it, what we had there in September in Sandpoint, but it's happening, and I'm hearing people from all over the planet who are hungry for God, and they're frustrated with the organized church. They're frustrated. They know they're not getting truth from their denomination, and so they're seeking the things of God. And so people came hungry. They wanted to hear about what God was doing, and they wanted to pray, and so that's what we spent a lot of time doing.
Well, amen. Well, you know, see, then you're going by his agenda, the Father, and not by man's agenda. And so that's just really wonderful, you know. Amen. So, and yeah, it was that conference is why I picked out. I asked Nathan to come on because I was looking through some stuff, and I saw that you and Benjamin, you know, had been in a conference with him. And I thought, well, if you guys like the guy, well, then maybe I will. And so I got him on the program, and he was trying to figure out who referred him, and I said, well, nobody really, except for, you know, the Lord, of course, but so it was a really good program. I really liked Nathan.
Oh, I'm glad you did, and you know what? There's so many believers out there just attacking one another, but, you know, we've got to, you know, be able to work with each other, realize who our friends are and who our enemies are. You know, and even though, for example, Nathan Leal and I, we don't agree on every single point, neither do I or Benjamin Baruch, but we came together and organized this thing, and believers from all over the country had a wonderful time. And so we've got to realize who is on our side and who is not on our side. But instead, I see Christians that I respect, but they're fighting each other. They're viciously going after each other, and it's very, very sad because as the church, as believers, we're being attacked from 1,000 different directions right now. If we don't pull ourselves together, we're going to get just wiped out.
Yeah, absolutely. You're so very right. I won't mention names here, but, you know, I know somebody that recently went on the attack against, you know, somebody else. And I could tell the underlying reason was is they wanted people to accept their prophecies, you know, but their prophecies weren't the same as the others. So the only way that they could, you know, I guess they felt that they could be heard is by first destroying the other person. And you know what? A lot of times, you know, prophecy, while we see through a glass darkly, you know, it's like a many-sided structure. There's so many different sides to it. And from one side of it, we can't see everything. And so maybe the guy a couple of sections over has a different part of it. And so you're right. We've got to look together for that. Amen.
Amen, Pastor Dan. I think right now there's a lot of frustration in the Christian world because of September came, and there were so many expectations, anticipations, and the world didn't end in September. And so a lot of people's expectations were not met, and so people now are frustrated. They're pointing the finger at one another, or they're saying, this person was false, that person was false. You know, when, you know, the truth is a lot happened in September, but it didn't necessarily play out exactly how people were anticipating. For example, in September, you know, we did see at one point $11 trillion were wiped out from global financial markets. This is according to Bloomberg. $11 trillion globally were wiped out. The stock markets of the 10 largest economies around the world all crashed simultaneously. Here in the Chinese stock market was down 40% at one point. The German stock market was down 25% at one point. In the United States, we saw the 8th largest stock market crash in U.S. history, and the 10th largest stock market crash in U.S. history happened within 30 days just prior to the end of the Shemitah cycle. And yet, you know, there's some people that were running around saying nothing happened. Well, maybe nothing happened according to their expectations, but we really did see the greatest global financial shaking that we had seen in exactly 7 years until just prior to the previous Shemitah cycle. But now there's all these people running around attacking Jonathan Cahn, pointing the fingers at him, when the truth is that so much actually did happen in the financial world. And Jonathan Cahn always said, we're not looking at any particular day, but we're looking at a pattern that has happened many times over, you know, for going back many, many years. And so in my view, you know, we did see a tremendous amount happen financially and otherwise as well. We can talk about some of the things that have been happening since mid-September, late September, but so many people out there are pointing the finger. Their expectations of what they thought would happen were not met.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there's other things that, you know, like they were talking about the blood moons. You know, I don't know exactly what day they signed the pact, but on the day of the blood moon, which according to the calendar that I go by anyway, the Jewish calendar, at that day, Russia went down and they signed a pact with Iran, Iraq, and Syria. And to me, that has huge prophetic significance. That was a major thing that a lot of people were ignoring. And it happened on the actual Blood Moon Day. Back to you.
Yeah, and at the timing of the Blood Moons, just before that, the weekend of September 25th, 26th, and 27th, well, on September 25th, the Pope flew to New York City to give the speech, the address, which kicked off the conference where the 2030 agenda is being unveiled for the general public, is being referred to as the Global Goals. There are 17 Global Goals, which are basically a template for a global government, a united world, a one world order, if you will. And the Pope endorsed it on September 25th, and then on September 26th, a global citizen festival was held in New York City, in Central Park. Some of the biggest names in the music world, including Beyonce, were there to perform and promote the new Global Goals. And a video was released, and you can find it on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and type in the Global Goals, where some of the biggest actors and celebrities in the world endorse these new global goals, this template for a one-world order. And then the conference wrapped up on September 27th. And as the Pope was flying away from the United States, Lee leaving the United States away from that conference, he could look out the window of his plane and see the blood moon. And so, you know, we saw that happen. Another thing that happened at the timing of the blood moon is that the storm that would become Hurricane Joaquin developed into a tropical depression there on September 27th and September 28th, the timing of the blood moon. And so this hurricane scaled the east coast of the United States, and it never made landfall, but moisture from that storm devastated South Carolina and other regions along the east coast of the United States. In fact, in South Carolina, they got so much rain that the governor of the state, Nikki Haley, she said it was the most rain that they had seen in some areas in 1,000 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tremendous flooding on the east coast, and following that, we had a very unusual storm hit the west coast of the United States, causing tremendous rain in Southern California, tremendous mudslides. Yet there were vehicles that were covered in feet of mud. In fact, just a couple days ago, they finally dug someone out. His car had been encased in feet of mud. He was dead. He was trapped by this tremendous flooding. Then we had the remnants of Hurricane Patricia, which actually was one of the biggest, most powerful hurricanes in world history. It came up through Mexico into Texas, just dumped enormous amounts of rain on Texas. It rained so much, there was so much flooding, it actually derailed a train. So this is something which has happened just here since the end of September. We've also seen wildfires. On September 23rd, which was Yom Kippur, a date many were pointing to, Barack Obama formally declared the Valley Fire in California to be a major disaster on that date. And this year, most people don't realize this, up to this point, according to the National Interagency Fire Center, we have had more acres of land destroyed by wildfires this year than any year in U.S. history except for 2006. Right now, we're just barely behind the record pace of 2006, although more fires are going on right now. So I expect by the end of this year, it'll actually be, number one, the greatest year for wildfires in all of U.S. history. So that's another kind of judgment, if you will, that we've seen within the last 30 days. And
right.
Then another thing is we've seen earthquakes. There's a small city called San Ramon. It sits approximately 45 miles east of San Francisco. In the last 2 weeks alone, we've seen more than 400 earthquakes hit just that city, 45 miles east of San Francisco, a record amount. They've never seen an earthquake swarm like this, but it's happened just over the last 2 weeks.
Hey, I got a question. You said it, and I read that one. How far was that from San Francisco? That's not good. I mean, that could be San Francisco, couldn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's just 45 miles away. So it's pretty close with an easy driving distance of San Francisco, 45 miles.
Easy shaking distance?
Yeah.
I shouldn't laugh. I'm sorry. It's just that I was born in San Jose. Before I pick on California too much, and I know I have listeners, Michael, in California, so I got to say this before I say what I want to say, and I shouldn't be laughing. I was born in California, and I was brought to Kansas when I was, like 3 years old, and I went back once, didn't much care for the overcrowding. So having said that, still, California, I'll say this about both coasts, the east and the west coast. Those are the epics of the sin that is crushing this country. And you know what? So, I try to keep a straight face when I hear of that. And I don't want anything bad to happen to anybody anywhere. It's like they need to repent over there. You know what I'm saying? Back to you.
Oh, that's exactly my message, Pastor Dan. And God has opened up a door for this message, what I'm about to share with you, in front of some very big audiences lately and share what I'm about to share with you. But God opened up a door for me to go on the Jim Baker show and share this. He opened up a door for me to go on the Alex Jones show and share this. What I'm going to share is this. In the legal world, I used to be an attorney years ago, and in the legal world, before punishment, before the sentence is administered, there is a pronouncement of guilt. And I believe over the past 6 months or so, that's exactly what's happened to America, where we are being shown our sin in a whole bunch of ways, whether it's the gay marriage Supreme Court decision, the whole Ashley Madison thing exposing so many preachers with their sin, or in particular, I don't believe it's any accident these undercover Planned Parenthood videos have come out at this time. So we've had video up, they've come out, and they've shown all of America and all over the world that we're killing millions of babies, we're chopping them up, we're selling off their organs to the highest bidder, where they're being used in the most bizarre scientific experiments you can imagine. And now this has been put on display for the whole world. Now after, you know, so many of these videos came out, they took a survey of the American people, and they asked the American people, should we continue to give federal funding to Planned Parenthood or not? The question was not even should we shut them down. The question was just, okay, we're giving Planned Parenthood hundreds of millions of dollars a year to do this. Should we quit giving, should we, taxpayers quit funding this? Well, the results came back and they were sobering. By a more than 2-to-1 margin, 69% to 29%, the American people said, yes, let's keep funding this. This was in USA Today. It was a national survey. So only 29% of all Americans even want to stop giving them taxpayer money after everything that is exposed. You know what that tells me, Pastor Dan? That tells me that America is done. America is finished. I believe that judgment is set. And I believe that we're not going to have chances to turn around before the judgment of God starts hitting this nation.
Amen. Nathan brought it up. He brought up Donald Trump and said a lot of people think that that's a blessing to America, you know, that it could change. I don't see that there's been enough people to repent, you know, but to brought on real repentance. You understand what I'm saying? And actually, he could even bring on greater destruction, because if he looks like he's the front runner and he looks like that he may change something, that shortens the window for the people that want to do the things while Obama is still in office. You understand what I'm saying? Like other countries like Russia and so on and so forth that might want to attack America but wouldn't want to do it if we had a strong leader. Not saying Trump's the guy, but my point is I'm with Nathan in the respect that I don't believe that he's going to save us, you know. What do you think?
Oh, I completely agree with you, Pastor Dan. None of these people that are running are going to save us from what's coming. And in fact, Donald Trump, you know, they ask him about gay marriage. He's like, well, that's already been decided. We've got to move forward. We've got to move on. He doesn't want to overturn that. The majority of the American people, about 60% now, solidly are in favor of gay marriage. So we've willingly chosen our sin. After years of God extending mercy and grace to us, he's trying to get us to turn around, we've shaken our fist at God, and we've told him to get out of our schools, to get out of our government, to get out of everything of public life. We continue to go into even more sin. We continue to go into even more depravity. And so now I believe that we're reaching the end of that period of mercy and grace, and that the judgment of God is coming. It's going to be more horrible than most people would even dare.
I got to step in here. We're only like 20 seconds before break. Real quick, give them your website, and we'll come back and talk.
Sure. My primary website is the economiccollapseblog.com. Just go to Google and type in the economic collapse. It's the first result that comes up. Or my other primary website is endoftheamericandream.com.
Okay, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And I kind of chuckled for a minute there because what I'm going to tell you is funny, but it's not. And this is to, you know, I have an email update list for people that, you know, want to know what's going on in our ministry, whether it's the Wichita Mission Church or with radio or whatever. And I've used a Yahoo group for that for, you know, since 98 or 99, something like that. And now let's cut to something else. So I absolutely use that group, and those people that read those updates, they donate. That's most of my online donations and a lot of donations that come through the mail. They read those, and they donate to what's going on, okay? Well, I wondered why my donations this year have just been rotten. I am not kidding you. And so I found out today that group, I was still posting to it, right? Because I send it, all I do is send an email to my Yahoo groups, and it goes on, and there it is. Well, I found out today that group has been crashed since, don't laugh, January. And so that means I've been writing mission updates to, I don't know, invisible people. Well, a few people did get them because I have a few add-ons that aren't really in that group, but I add them on when I send the email. So those people haven't been getting updates from me, and so if you're one of those people, I apologize to you. And that also explains why we've had such a huge dramatic drop in donations this year. So I do have somebody that's I'll call him an expert that's working on it and trying to work with Yahoo and get their attention so we can get into that group and get everybody's address, and we're going to create a new thing. But in the meantime, I don't even have a way really to send out to my supporters what we need because I don't have their email addresses. And so we do need you to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. You know, so many people come to us for help, and the reason they come to us is because we give them a relationship. We treat them as family. We give them love. Beyond that, we don't have any set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need, and if we have it, we give it to them. If we don't, we pray it in, you know. And we give all kinds of first aid. You wouldn't believe it. Just everything. And it's not, like I say, just a homeless guy that sleeps under the bridge. That's the wrong impression. While there is homeless guys and women and with children even that sleep outside and are under the bridge that come to us, there's also poor people that come to us that, you know, are trying to keep their jobs and so on and so forth. And so those people are even coming to us. And let me get this other thing across to you. You know, not every homeless people, if you see them walking down the street, if you didn't know how to spot them because they have a backpack or something, they're not wearing it, most of them are just as clean as you and me, maybe even cleaner, and they don't keep themselves badly, you know. Most of them don't. And so that image that you have from, maybe it came from the 50s or 60s of all of that for all of the homeless people, is a very wrong picture. You know, most of them aren't like that, but some are. Anyway, so we help people when other people can't. We are a last resort for so many. Anyway, I'm going to get out of this, but folks, every donation, no matter what size, really, really does help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. And I do have something to bring up. I had somebody from Wichita tell us that, hey, I've got my mom died. I have an estate that not everything sold, and wanted my wife to come over and look at the donations. So she went over and looked at all the donations. There was a house full of good furniture and good antiques, and he says, well, I'm going to give you all these. I'm going to probably sell off a couple of more things, but you can basically have everything here. So it was a week go by before we could get over there, and that was planned. And so we got over there yesterday and took a trailer over there. And you know what was the donation that was left for the poor? It was junk that you would put out on the curb just about. There was just a couple of things. There was not really anything in the thing to sell or nothing. And then, okay, they want a receipt, you know, a thank you note for the things that they gave us so they could, you know, get a reward for it or whatever for giving it to us. And, you know, let me go with this. It just bothers me because You're not supposed to give the worst to God. You know, the scripture even tells us, he who gives to the poor lends to God. We're supposed to give the best to him, you know. We're supposed to give the best to him. That's why he says tithes. Tithes is the first money that we get, not the last money we get. And so it really drives me crazy. You know, one time I even had somebody call me up and tell me, say, hey, I'm butchering a cow, and I thought about you guys, and I want to know if you want the guts. Really? The guts? Anyway, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com, or call me if you need to at 620-878-4682. And now we're back with Michael Snyder from the Economic Collapse Blog. Are you still with me, Michael, or did you bail out?
No, I'm here, Pastor Dan.
Well, I'm glad. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been sarcastic. Hey, first off, though, I was looking at your website, and I haven't really read this article, and I had to scroll down because I couldn't take it. There's this picture of Obama looking at himself in the mirror, and it's terrible. And I had to scroll down because I kept looking over here, and I'm seeing Obama sticking his tongue out at me, you know? But what is that about?
Well, the title of the article is Mentally Unstable Obama Looking to Start a War with China? And the reason I wrote the article is because Barack Obama seems to be going insane. You know, just the other day, this week, what he did is, you know, we've got the Chinese, and they've kind of taken these disputed islands in the South China Sea, and they've started to build them up and develop them, and so Barack Obama, what he did is he said, well, I don't like this. And the Chinese said, well, you know, don't come over here because we might just start shooting at, you know, if you send a ship over here. So what did Obama do? Well, instead of trying to and this is something that needs to be handled, but instead of handling it a different way, he said, well, we're going to send a guided missile destroyer right by these islands, and we're going to see if the Chinese start shooting at us, you know, essentially potentially sparking World War III. So that's exactly what he did. He sent this guided missile destroyer right past these islands, right past it. And so the Chinese, they sent out ships to warn them. And fortunately, the Chinese didn't shoot back, although the Chinese are saying, well, if you do it again, you know, we might not be so gracious next time. So, you know, the concern is that Obama might be trying to start World War III. And, of course, it's not just in the South China Sea. You know, you see what's going on over in Syria, where the Russians have come in. The Russians all of a sudden are bombing all these targets. But my question is, the U.S. military said they had been bombing ISIS targets in Syria for over a year. And so if the U.S. military has done such a good job, why are there still all these targets? The Russians have released all these videos of these targets being destroyed, ISIS headquarters, ammunition depots, all these facilities. Why do these targets still exist if the U.S. had been bombing them into oblivion for over a year? Could the U.S. military not find all these targets? Could, you know, did Obama not want them to be bombed? Well, it creates a lot of questions. But so Russia's been doing this bombing in Syria, and the Obama administration says, well, we don't like this very much. So what did the Obama administration do? The Obama administration just recently airdropped 50 tons of weapons and ammunition behind the enemy lines to the so-called moderate rebels, although there's not really any moderate rebels there, but that basically arming the very people that the Russians are trying to get rid of, making the Russians really mad. And now, just yesterday, it was reported at NBC News that Defense Secretary Ashton Carter is saying that the United States is going to begin, quote, direct action on the ground, unquote, against ISIS forces in Iraq and Syria. So we're going to be sending our troops in to these areas that where the Russians are conducting operations, and we're going to be helping the people, and working in areas where the Russians are fighting. And so, you know, it's really becoming a proxy war over there, and it's setting up a situation where our men and women might actually could potentially end up shooting at Russian forces, at some point. So it's really, many of people are saying, what in the world's going on? Are we headed on a road to World War III?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, You know, not a lot of people have said anything about that. Well, they've talked about the Russians being over there. We are in such close proximity to them, whether it's our airplanes, our men, or whatever. You know, it doesn't have to be anything intentionally. What if we accidentally shoot down one of their planes, or so on and so forth? How are they going to take it? And there's threats coming back and forth. We're telling them, don't fly over Iraq. They're doing it anyway, so on and so forth. That could blow up. If that was the Cold War, we would already be headed for bunkers. You know what I mean? Now, the people, where in America is anybody worried about it, other than maybe you and I and a few others? Back to you.
Oh, it's very true. And Syria is not the only place. In Ukraine, you know, we've got this great civil war over in Ukraine, which has erupted, and the Russians, are supplying personnel and weapons and supplies and tanks and everything else to the pro-Russian side. And on the new government that's been set up in Kiev, which includes open neo-Nazis, by the way, the U.S. government is supporting the other side, the side with the neo-Nazis as part of the government. But we've already been sending them non-lethal military aid. But now this budget deal that was just agreed to this week is going to include lethal military aid for the government in Ukraine. So on the one side, there are going to be Russian weapons and supplies. On the other side, there's going to be U.S. weapons and supplies. So we've got this proxy war in Ukraine right on Russia's border. Ukraine is Russia's most important neighbor, and the Russian people are very, very upset about this. In fact, a poll that was taken found that well over 80% of all Russians now have a negative view of this country, higher than at any point during the Cold War. So the Russian people and the Russian government are very, very upset with us for how we're interfering in Ukraine, how we're interfering in Syria. So the relationship between us and Russia is going down the tank. And now, thanks to this issue in the South China Sea, our relationship with China, the most important perhaps trading relationship and economic relationship in the world, is going in the tank. And already we're seeing global trade decline. According to HSBC, the largest bank in the Western world, total global trade is down 8.4% in 2015 so far. That's a colossal decline in terms of the real economy, not the stock market, not the financial world, but in terms of real stuff going back and forth across the world. To be down 8.4% for the year so far is huge. U.S. exports, well, Barack Obama had said U.S. exports were going to be going up. He was going to increase them. Said they're down 11% for the year. And then September Chinese imports for the month of September, year over year, were down a whopping 20.4% from a year earlier. So the real economy, the real global economy, is contracting and declining very, very rapidly.
Absolutely. The one article that really did stood out or stands out, I didn't want to bounce you all over the place, but I really liked the one that you wrote kind of as a thing for after September, and that was the quiet before the storm. It made a lot of sense. Back to you.
Yeah, on all kinds of radio programs, watchmen that I respect, watchmen that I talk to, it seems kind of noticed that, you know, we had this financial shaking in late August and early September, but since then things have gotten really quiet on the surface, almost like too quiet, but it's not a good quiet. It's not a quiet like, oh, everything's going to be okay now, although a lot of people, you know, in mainstream America are treating it like that, like, okay, things were a little shaky there for a while, but everything's calmed down now. Everything, September's over, everything's going to be fine, I don't have to prepare anymore, the Shemitah is passed, and a lot of Christians out there are taking this approach. But to me, it's an eerie calm, it's a calm before the storm, and so we have so many things happening, whether, you know, of geopolitical instability, which we've talked about, or in Israel, the violence which has happened over there. Or we've got this evidence of a global recession. In fact, HSBC, which I mentioned earlier, the biggest bank in the Western world, says that global economic activity, global GDP, if it was all converted into U.S. dollars, it would be down 3.4% for the year already. Serious recession. According to them, we're already in a global recession, and yet the stock market hasn't gotten a memo yet. We've seen the stock market bounce back significantly in October, so a lot of people are saying, oh, the crisis has passed. We're going to be okay. Meanwhile, under the surface, we've got all kinds of things stirring, all kinds of, kind of like in 2008, where, you know, one day Lehman Brothers, it was in the news, they collapsed, you know, but that didn't happen in a single day. It happened over time, and
right.
We're seeing all kinds of problems. For example, Deutsche Bank, the biggest bank in Germany, one of the biggest banks in the Western world, they are having huge problems. They just announced one of their biggest losses ever. They recently let their co-CEOs go. Just today, I came across an article announcing tens of thousands of layoffs by Deutsche Bank. And I keep getting reports they're in huge, huge trouble. The biggest bank in Switzerland, UBS, apparently is in massive trouble with derivatives. The biggest commodity traders in the world, Glencore, Trafigura, the Noble Group, the biggest commodity trader in Asia, all of them, their stock prices crashed because of the commodity crash. They're in all kinds of trouble, on the verge of going under. If any one of those, or a number of other financial institutions around the globe that are in serious trouble right now, if any one of those were to collapse, it would be another Lehman Brothers moment, set off a 2008-style panic. So there's all this stuff that is going on right now, just under the surface, which a lot of people, you know, which are concerned, but it hasn't exploded into the headlines yet. And so the headlines still seem very, very cold, and so many believers out there say, well, everything's going to be okay. Well, I'm here to tell you everything is not okay. In fact, all of the underlying numbers are still screaming that we've entered a recession and a major financial crisis is imminent.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? You said that you talk about on the surface and below the surface. You know, that just reminds me of like an ice cube. You drop an ice cube in the water. You know, you look at the ice cube in the glass of water. You know, there's a little bit of it on top, maybe, that sticks out of the water, but most of it's below the surface, just like an iceberg. And that's what's going on. People are just looking right on the surface of things, and it looks all nice and calm, not knowing they're headed for that iceberg that they're surely going to crash into, because I do believe it's coming. All these things that you're saying is adding up, but, you know, it's the society. And I don't look at it the rest of the world that way. It's just this Western society. It's the same way they look at Bible prophecy. If somebody gives a prophecy this week, if it isn't fulfilled next week, then it's no good. But we're still waiting for all the prophecies in the Bible to come true. You understand what I'm saying? And, you know, but we live in this society in the West that it's just, you know, it's got to be immediate, right now, right now, right now, right now. What do you think?
Oh, I totally agree with you, Pastor Dan. We're used to our instant coffee, our video on demand, our 48-hour news cycle. We got to have everything now. Well, if you look in the Bible, you know, for example, poor Jeremiah, he was prophesying for decades that Babylon was going to come in and that Jerusalem was going to fall and they were going to be taken away. Well, you know, poor Jeremiah, he had to wait for decades for it to finally be fulfilled. Meanwhile, they're throwing him down a well, they're throwing him in prison, they're treating him horribly. You know, what a poor guy. So, yeah, Christians, so many believers today don't have any patience. They won't take a longer-term view of things. And so, yeah, it's very, very sad. Meanwhile, everything is on schedule, you know, and I like your analogy earlier of the ice cube or the Titanic. If you saw the movie Titanic, the Titanic hit the iceberg under the water. And so at first it seemed like everyone on the surface, they felt a little something, but they thought it was going to be fine, you know, no problem. Okay, maybe they glanced off at something, but underneath the water started to come in and started to flood the ship, and eventually it went under. But, you know, on the surface, at first, it seemed like everything was going to be okay. So I think that's such a perfect analogy for the United States today. Not only economically, we're headed toward economic disaster, but everything, you know, I believe we're on the verge of the worst time this country has ever seen, and I believe it's coming up very quickly, and I believe it's going to last for years.
Yeah, absolutely. I do believe that we are coming up on something huge economically. I can't put my finger on exactly when it's going to fall apart, but it's already started to tumble. You know, it really has started to tumble, and I don't think that the only way that the nation could get out of it, everybody says, well, the nation could get out of it. Look at Nineveh. But look at Nineveh. Nineveh, the whole nation repented, you know? The whole nation fasted, even the leaders. Do you really see that happening for America? Back to you.
I wish I could. And so, there's been a call for America to repent. Instead, we can erase the other direction. And so, but we can't get away with the crimes against humanity that we've been committing. And so I believe that, we're headed for the perfect storm that John Paul Jackson warned about. You know, John Paul Jackson, he was told that he would have an 11th hour ministry, and he passed away earlier this year. So what comes after the 11th hour is my question. Well, he warned of this perfect storm in which it's not just economic crisis, but we're going to see terrorism, we're going to see natural disaster, we're going to see plagues, we're going to see governmental shaking, we're going to see civil unrest, we're going to eventually see martial law, essentially, disaster after disaster, plague after plague, hardship after hardship are coming to this country. The judgment of God is coming, and we're going to deserve every ounce of what's about to happen to us. But that's only part of my message, Pastor Dan. Part of my message that I believe God wants me to deliver is the warning message and the judgment and the hard things that are coming to this nation. But the other half of it is good news. Amen. In the midst of all this chaos and darkness, God is raising up his remnant. He's raising up a people. I believe we're going to see the greatest move of God the world has ever seen in these last days. I believe we're going to bring in the greatest harvest of souls the world has ever seen. I want people to know there's hope for them and their family. God has a plan. Everything that was going to happen in advance, he's got a plan for his remnant, a plan for the people and their families, and he's going to gather his people. He's got a place for them to go, and he's going to take care of us, and he's going to do great things with us. And so that's really the other half of my message.
Yeah, amen. And it's just like that, you know. He puts us through tribulations. He allows tribulation for two reasons. A, to punish, but also B, to put us in the fire and to make us better so that we can be like him and be with him. And Christians are supposed to expect that tribulation so he does change us and so we do become better. He's trying to get our attention. You know, before it's complete, he will do at a pace like birth pains. That's what it's supposed to be, birth pains. Until finally at the end of birth pains, what happens, Michael? Something very wonderful. A baby is born. In this case, something very wonderful happens. Yeshua returns. Back to you. You got about a minute to say goodbye.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Pastor Dan. We are looking forward to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But before then, there's a whole lot of work to do. Whatever time we have left, that's all the time we have to bring in the rest of the harvest. And I'm not satisfied with the harvest right now that we're going to bring to Yeshua, are you? You know, now's the time to be winning people. Now's the time that we're going to see the greatest move of God. Now is the time the remnant is rising. So if what I'm saying stirs your heart, please come and visit my website, theeconomiccollapseblog.com, endoftheamericandream.com. Write to me, reach out to me, because it's time for the remnant to connect. It's time for the remnant to rise up, the army of the last days. God's going to do great things, so now's not a time to dig a hole and try to hide from the world. Now's the time to rise up and be the people that God created us to be.
Amen. We were made for such a time like this, and the prophets and the apostles and everybody wished they would have been here. But, you know, we are here, and so, folks, he's probably got a purpose for you if you just fill out that application, and the application is get on your knees. Anyway, thanks for being on with me, Michael. I love you. We'll talk again. Be blessed, brother.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Dan. I enjoyed being on with you again, and I want to wish everyone shalom. That's the Hebrew word for peace.
All right. Be blessed. Bye-bye. Well, folks, that's absolutely the point is, you know, no date's in, but, you know, the world is headed to a huge crash, and I do believe America deserves judgment. Absolutely. Why wouldn't he give judgment to America with all the babies and everything he's killing. Okay, we must remember that there is only one God. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray about supporting the Mission Church. And if you are out there buying storage food, do it from our website. At least the poor will get part of that money. Anyway, Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.